time is 8:36. We have Luba Mayakiso on the line. Luba, very, very good morning to you. I'm hoping that you heard a good portion of that conversation.
Not too much, but good morning to you guys. I'm in East London today.
You're in East London today. All right, fine. So we'll forgive you then. So we started the conversation, and I started it using a bit of an example from the Bible. And, you know, it is this week in synagogues we read from Genesis, we read Bereshit. But the part that I wanted to quote was the following, and that's when Adam has eaten the fruit and he's hidden, and God says to him, he says to God, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I am naked, and so I hid. And God says, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat? And the man said, the woman you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate. In other words, he's blaming God and the woman. And God says to the woman, what is it that you have done? And she says, the serpent deceived me, and I ate it. And I was saying to David, from way back when, we just seem to be hardwired not to take responsibility. Now, following that, and you look at the political situation that's taking place with the DA, with Musi yesterday, and everything that has gone on. Everybody's very quick to blame everybody else, but very few people taking responsibility for their own actions.
No, absolutely. I think most of us will always try and avoid taking responsibility. It's much easier to blame it on somebody else. You know, it's their fault. You know, I caught your conversation about dealing with children. And I think children have changed. I mean, you know, when we were growing up, you would certainly never demand an apology from your parents, even if you knew you were wrong.
Absolutely.
But today, I mean, I get told that very often, you know, Dad, you were wrong. And I'm like, okay. And then they look at you and, you know, kind of say, are you going to apologize? So you get forced into it. But also, I think you know, there's acknowledging that you're wrong, and then there's also the apology. And I think some of us can acknowledge that we're wrong, but we struggle with the apology. I, for one, struggled for many years, not because I wasn't remorseful, but I didn't often think that I needed to, because I grew up in a boys' school with a brother. So my view was, he knew I meant no harm. So I didn't need to say I'm sorry, because he understood. And then lo and behold, I met my wife, and, you know, she would say, why do you do this thing? So I would have to apologize. But the challenge then with women was, she would then say, but what possessed you to do it? And I was never ready
for that. I hate that question.
Never ready for that one. So I would be like, isn't the apology enough? But then I learned that women don't want an apology. They want to understand, what in God's earth, what were you thinking? And I think for me as a guy, that's where I struggled. With the whole, you know, post-mortem now, what went through your mind? So it's a challenge. For me, I think I've had to work on it to actually express the apology, because in my mind, the fact that I meant no harm was sufficient, but
yeah, it is interesting. But and you do often see it, David, in male friendships where you don't need a formal apology. The kind of behavior is understood to have been an acknowledgement of wrongdoing, and so you move forward.
Well, that's a whole different show with, you know, just understanding men and women, you know, and how different, and I am generalizing, how different we are. I've been laughing to myself, Luba, because you said, I was forced to make the apology, and that's not a good place to start.
I think it's a very good place to start, because he's not going to do it on his own, he's got to be forced, and then ultimately he'll get better at it.
Absolutely. But
I mean, I'm speaking for Luba, but I'm actually speaking for myself.
Sure, absolutely.
Really.
Absolutely. But I'm saying, no wonder it's so difficult to move on from there, because it felt forced. But the bottom line is that absolutely, you know, maybe we're moving away from the topic, but taking responsibility means different things to different people. And often when we see that with in gender, you know, where a man can say sorry and it's over. It's over now. I've said, what else do you want from me?
So it's actually interesting, the point that Luba makes, and maybe that is one of the reasons that it is hard often to say sorry. And it might be a man-woman thing, because if a man says sorry, it's not easy. But then they get to the point, but then we say, you know, then the next question is, well, Why did you do that? Mm. What were you thinking? Like what possessed you? And that's almost too hard. That's almost the equivalent to a child being locked in their room because they acknowledge that they did something wrong.
Well, that's taking it to the next level because again, when we say, you know, sorry, I see that that's wrong, but now we have to dissect it. Now we have to think about, you know, the deeper meaning of our actions. And that's, as Anati said,
it's
that's
a case
even
of
more
of,
uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It's, you know, we have to now start to dig deeper and then explain ourselves.
Exactly. It's a case of asking, are you sorry because you got caught or because you actually understand what you did? And for me to believe that you are remorseful and to believe that you will never do it again,
right.
I need to
I get that, except that you'd also have to look at what we're apologizing, what somebody's apologizing for. If you're talking about, for example, infidelity in a relationship, I absolutely agree with you because you can't just say sorry and expect it to go away and not really understand what led to that in the first place. Wow. Because otherwise you don't believe it's never going to happen again. But if it's a minor misdemeanor in the house, you know, you forgot to put the margarine.
It means you are inconsiderate.
The problem, though, is that inquisition with women follows any addiction of guilt.
Okay, we
and
might.
It's not just the infidelity. No matter what it is, you might have put the majority in the wrong place. And that's why I'm saying, you see, growing up with my brother, he's my only brother. So he knew I meant no harm. So we could punch each other. We could roll on the floor, wrestle, swear, whatever. He knew that there was no malice intended. I did not have to apologize. You know, we just got over it. And that's why I'm saying that's the difficulty, because the one person knows that deep down, no matter what has been done, there is no ill intention. Now, with women, there isn't a scale that says, look,
we just acknowledge you generalizing here. It could be, yes.
You know, but I think, you know, again, and I'm putting myself under the bus yet again today.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to a wedding?
You're helping us.
Yeah, no, have you ever been to a wedding, Luba, where, you know, you don't go with your spouse or your partner and generalizing, we're stereotyping here. And you get home and your wife says to you, what did the bride wear?
And you have no idea.
You say,
she wore white.
Yeah. It was definitely white. She's infuriated. But what? And that again.
Okay, so men and women are different. We get
men
that.
Men and women are generally very different in the way. And again.
And this is coming from a psychologist, right?
And I must say, you know, if you read that book, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, you know, we always are so obsessed about not generalizing and not stereotyping people. But again, when you look at the majority, you know, that's where
we
run into trouble.
I mean, the fact is that we can have this conversation and the three men that are laughing about the same experience and Zanati, the woman, is laughing about the experience on the other side of it means actually that sometimes these generalizations are fairly accurate. But I just want to go to the lines. Kate says, I think it's difficult for you to say sorry because of arrogance. Me?
Which one of us is that?
Kate, I think that's me. Howard. No, it's definitely me. I think it's difficult for you to... I'm just looking at the phone number. It's not my wife that's saying that wrote this. I think it's difficult for you to say sorry because of arrogance. When one thinks that one's God's gift to mankind... Oh, this is definitely me then. Then one doesn't think one ever does wrong. So one doesn't take responsibility for one's mistakes or an express... an apology.
Yeah, but behind arrogance...
Kate's a bit angry, hey?
Well, I'm not sure. I didn't hear your name in that, Howard. But
you!
Howard!
You! She didn't say, I think it's difficult for one to say sorry because of arrogance. She says, I think it's difficult for you to say sorry because of arrogance. When one thinks that one's God's gift to mankind, then one doesn't think that one ever does wrong. Okay, so that's from Kate. Sorry, I'm just going to go to a few more messages. And Yossi says, it's a natural defense mechanism. Our default position that's reactive rather than proactive. The irony is that it's so much more liberating to take responsibility. Mm. Absolutely right. And can set our mistakes and misdeeds back to a default position. As a politician, it would help their cause, not hinder it. I couldn't agree more. You'd find the public perception and ratings would actually improve. And then Yossi goes on to say, imagine if you were sensitive, are we? No, thank God I'm not. Can you? That's by the way, well, I mentioned the book that I'm writing.
Yes, that's the first time I hear about it.
That's the name.
what's the name?
Imagine If I Were Sensitive.
Ah.
And it comes from our listeners, I have to tell you. And then Anonymous said, sometimes life isn't clear cut and neither are decisions or solutions. Therefore, it's easier to sit on a problem instead of taking immediate action. This seems like doing nothing responsible, but is it? So yeah, I think that's also a valid point. Sometimes you've got to get to that because we don't often... Often we don't act cognitively. We do something that is clumsy or stupid or hurtful without, as Luba's saying, his brother understands he means no harm. And I think very often we do behave in that way. That means it does take us a little bit of time to understand. Hold on. Mm. From your perspective, I can understand why that was potentially irritating, hurtful, etc.
But that's the point, is that taking responsibility is also about being aware of the other. And we use that in psychology a lot. You know, maybe for Zanati, leaving the batter out is just the most irritating thing. Maybe there's something about it. And so it's not important to you, but taking responsibility because it means, because it's important to your partner or to someone in your life is also about taking responsibility. And I need to also say that, using sorry as taking responsibility is often an easier way out, where it's like, I'm sorry. I'm trying my best, which is really often, I have to say, a cop out, where sorry is just used as a way of moving on, and saying, what else do you want me to do? And
I've got a nice one I sometimes throw, and I know I'll be murdered for this one. I sometimes say to people, if I say I'm sorry and leave it at that, then I'm sincere and remorseful. But if you ask me to unpack it, then there might be elements of me defending myself. So my apology now starts to kind of, I'm sorry, but. So if you want a straightforward I'm sorry, but the moment you ask me to unpack, somewhere along the line, you're going to start saying, but you're defending, because I've got to explain to you why I did what I did. And when I start explaining, then the person going to say, yeah, but you're defending yourself. And in some ways, yes, because I'm trying to explain why I did what I did and it's what I thought. And the next challenge for me is often with sitting in a business environment or leadership, and my wife would say, Luba, you need to be the stronger and the bigger person and reconcile and say you're sorry. And I'm like, but I wasn't wrong. The other person was clear. He says, yes, I know he was wrong. But don't you think? And I'm like, but the person learns nothing because you're throwing me under the bus. Yeah. I've got to now somehow offer this olive branch and say, I'm sorry. And I'm saying, but no. And she'll always say, but you be the stronger person. And I'm saying, but why must I be the stronger person? Why can't I just, for a change? Feel insulted and let them skew a bit.
I think it is about being the stronger person. It's very, very difficult to apologize when the other person, there's also room for the other person to apologize. And that's where we get stuck. You apologize.
And they never learn anything from it. That's a problem. Yep. You apologize and they accept your apology. And they smile and you're thinking, well, that didn't pan out the way I thought.
Mm-hmm. But that's the point, is what we started this conversation saying, is that taking responsibility is about taking control of your life. It's not about expecting someone else to apologize. Mm-hmm. It's not, don't worry, their response, what you're saying is, you're relying on their response in order to feel that this is resolved, that you feel better. I think for me, it's a very, very difficult thing to develop, to say, I'm going to do this because I'm going to take responsibility for me. This person
you
might
need to
never.
Take responsibility for yourself. Mm. It's 8:50. We'll be back. Time is 8:52. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem 101.9 Chai FM. David Abramson in a studio. Lubu Mayekiso on the phone. David, you were saying during the break, because Anati was going on about this butter business.
Yeah, I know.
We're very worried.
What's your point about the butter?
It starts with the small things, Howard. Because you were inconsiderate with the butter.
So if you don't put that batter back, or you don't put the lid on the batter, like, unforgivable.
I have to
take responsibility.
I know in my household that I have an issue around cutting avocado. So if I, and it's a tiny thing, it seems.
No, it's not tiny.
You see, I'm so glad it's a nutty's here.
Is representing your wife.
Yes, I mutilate, according to her, the avocado.
Wow.
And
wow.
So I've had to take responsibility.
Mutilate's a very strong word.
It is. And it's bandied around when it comes to avocado in my house.
Right.
So I've really had to take responsibility and become much more aware that this means a lot to other people in the house.
Can I guess it's not really about the avocado?
I don't know, Howard.
I'm not a psychologist.
I haven't delved any deeper into that.
Right. No, I don't know if I would.
But I think for me, that's the point, is that they're taking responsibility can start and certainly I've started on the avocado. There's other things that I can work on.
Sure.
But that's the point, is that taking responsibility can start with small things, about being aware of the other, taking responsibility and doing things differently. And again, so when you think about your partner, taking responsibility for those things that seem small to you, but you own them, and you're aware of it. And so again, it doesn't have to be, where do I start? You know, how do I do this responsibility thing? You know, it can be done every day. And the question, we can ask, you know, especially in relationships, is, what does my wife need, or what does my partner need from me? What is the job that they need done from me? And again, I know we're turning this around a little bit, but again, take responsibility for
this. No, we're not turning around. I think this is exactly the point, is how we can learn to take responsibility. And I think the answer to this, after what I think is a fascinating conversation, is start with the small things before we start worrying about the big things. So when we're looking at Musi Mamani and we're saying, okay, you know, we get that it hasn't been easy, and we get the fact that, that it's been very, very, challenging for you in a position of leadership in a party. That, you know, maybe there was window dressing, maybe it was about optics, maybe, we don't know. But the point is that there was some responsibility that you need to take for what happened in the last election. The DA fell apart. Let's not kid. That's exactly what happens. So take responsibility when you do it. But what you're saying is start off with the butter, start off with the avocado, in order to get to a point that actually you learn and you train yourself to be able to take responsibility.
Absolutely. Start with the small things, and we can always get bigger. Think about litter on the road.
Yes.
Like, just if you see someone else throwing litter, you know, don't do it yourself. You know, it might irritate you, and I might as well just do it. It's small things. It's a small thing. So think about it in your everyday and start today.
Lube, your final thoughts on this?
Shoot, I'm still lost on the bat and the ever. And I've been able to process the
they metaphors, Luba.
I agree, Howard, but what I would often say is sometimes we must also make allowance for somebody else to be who they are and not want to always change somebody, because there might be things that I do that irritate you. And I personally often see that as some judgment when you criticize the way I do. So I would plead and say what David is saying is absolutely true, but let's make that room. My parting shot, David, is that you spoiled my day. I like to sulk sometimes. So you've now really ruined my day, because, you know, it's a space that I sometimes find most comfort in, and letting somebody stew and sulking for a bit. My wife always reminds me, but maybe the child in me, that I just like to see you stew a bit.
There's nothing
over something
quite,
you did before you apologize.
Right, there's nothing quite like a good sulker, Luba Makisa. Thank you as always. David Abramson, thank you.